Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere, and welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I have to say, I am especially excited about this word today because I believe in the relevance of what's about to be spoken in your life. I believe it's timely. I believe that this is a kairos moment, kairos meaning a Greek word for time, an opportune time, an opportune season. For you to step into the fullness of your purpose, for power to meet your potential. I want to say that again. For the power of God to connect and meet your potential. Those two things come together. That's when you step fully into purpose. And so I want to talk just a little bit today about those subject matters. And I cannot wait to get into the Word of God. For every one of you who are hoping and praying like I am for us to be able to come back and to worship, I want to let you know that hopefully and prayerfully, you'll be hearing about that very soon. So please remain connected to us on social media at the Kingdom Life Church. You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Pastor Michael Phillips. As a matter of fact, because of some of the things of my purpose and assignment and what God is calling me to do in this season of my life, you'll see that my name has changed on some of my social media platforms, and it will be uniform on all of them. And it will say at official Michael Phillips, because as you know, I've gotten a lot of people trying to copy my pages and things like that. And so we're trying to mitigate that. And so be on the lookout for those changes, but follow me on all of those platforms. If you follow at Pastor Michael Phillips, it's totally fine. You don't have to do anything different. It'll still be there for you. But that's where the information is going to be coming forth through those platforms, through our email blasts, and obviously on our social media pages and website. And so please be on the lookout for when we are returning so that we can give you those updates. And I will gladly welcome you back into the house of the Lord so that we may worship together and you be equipped and built up for the things that God is calling you to do. Cannot wait to fellowship with you and come back into a place of worship together. I want to take you to a passage of scripture in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. We're going to pick this up at the 19th verse, as a matter of fact. So 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, starting in the 19th verse. So wherever you are, get situated, whether you're in your kitchen, sipping on some coffee or tea in your bedroom, you're at Bedside Baptist, that's totally fine. In your living room, your basement, wherever you are, on your tablet, your phone, your computer, or you got it up on your TV, I am praying that the Spirit of the living God will permeate the atmosphere where you are and touch your heart so it's open to receive this word, anoint your ears so that you can hear everything that you need to hear in this message so that your life can move forward. Let's go to the word of the Lord. The Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12. Elisha passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. Elisha passed by him and cast his cloak or his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again for what I have done to you." And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, bull their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. I want to talk with you today from the subject titled, A Date with Destiny. A Date with Destiny. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Father, without a word, how can we live? The word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our hearts. So, Father, I pray that you speak a word to us today that will change our very nature, that will cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive it, and on every ear so that it can hear what the Spirit says to the church. Have your way today. Do all that you want to do. Accomplish all that you want to accomplish. I yield myself as a vessel unto you. Use me as you see fit. And I thank you for a life-altering impact that this word is going to have on the life of the hearer so that they can be equipped and edified to go and do the work that you have called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This text speaks of destiny. It speaks of destiny in such a powerful way that we need to understand that the word itself, destiny, while it does not show up in the Bible per se, is loaded with meaning. Destiny is not something that is out there. It's not something that you have to go and search for out there. I want to make that very clear. It is surprisingly concrete. It is accessible as a source of information because destiny always leaves clues. Destiny always leaves clues. And those clues are to help you become attuned and to be aware and to realize that at this very moment, destiny is operating in your life right now. And it provides the clues to your purpose and the evidence that God is in the midst of all of it. The word destiny in and of itself gets a lot of airplay, particularly in the church. It gets a lot of buzz. It gets a lot of claim, and we use it a lot, loosely sometimes, without, I believe, knowing its actual meaning. It becomes distorted in our conversations because we really tend to not understand the topic. And moreover, when we do discuss it, we quantify destiny in ways that will often diminish how we feel about ourselves, as if we are not in control of our choices, and as if what God calls us to do is not possible to be accomplished. God will never call you to do a thing that he's not equipped you for. Come on, say that one more time. God will never call you to something that he has not already equipped you for. You might need to be developed. You might need to be seasoned. You might need to add some layers of character, because sometimes the gift that is upon your life and the calling that is upon your life, which the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, meaning God gave them to you. They're yours. Sometimes, though, your gift can take you into places that your character cannot sustain. And so this is why we are to add to our faith things like virtue and perseverance. We have to add. We have to be developed. We have to grow. We have to mature. And so you have to then make sure that you're not quantifying destiny in a way that that diminishes your sense of deserving what you're about to come into. And also, you have to make sure that you don't qualify it in a way that makes it seem too out there for you to be able to approach it, too lofty, too extraordinary, too far outside of your reach. And so those are some of the reasons why I believe we don't really grasp this term and understand the power of a defining destined moment. And what is most problemsome out of all the things that we do with destiny is that we place it in the category of the intangible. We place it in a place that does not have any type of definable outcomes that we can hold on to. And so inadvertently, we then eliminate ourselves from the part that we have to play and participating in the destiny defining moments that is happening to us at this very, very second. And so I want to let the air out of the balloon. I want to take it out of the nebulous space and bring destiny down to right where you are, to simply say to you that your destiny is your identity. Your destiny is your identity. I want you to take away the preconceived notions that destiny is an ethereal concept, that it's otherworldly, that it's nebulous, that it's among the stars. No, destiny is among you right now, and it's working in your life right now. The person that God created you to be is organically and inextricably linked to the purpose you are created to fulfill. I got to say that one more time. The person that God created you to be is linked organically, and it is inextricable to the purpose that you were created to fulfill. Your destiny is your identity. And so destiny is revealed through the conduct of your life. Oh, I'm going to say it again. Destiny then is revealed through the conduct of your life. Are you conducting your life based upon what you believe God is calling you to do? It does not mean that you have to be doing that thing right now, but are you even conducting your life in a way that is preparing you for the thing that you are about to do? Peter was a shore fisherman, meaning he didn't have a boat. He fished in shallow water. But when it came time for him to operate in the next dimension, he had a boat. And in that dimension, he had a failure. Let me just interject and piggyback off of what I was talking about on a Wednesday night, a few Wednesday nights ago, that your failures are not fatal. They are indicators of your growth and your development. As a matter of fact, your failures are favors to you because it brings you to a place of development and innovation and creativity and shows you that you need to try again. And the mistake we make with our failures is that we superimpose the failure on our identity. And so instead of saying that we failed, we say we are a failure. You are not a failure. You might have gotten it wrong. You might have messed it up. It might have went sideways. But you as an individual, as a person of purpose and destiny, are not a failure. Come on, I'm going somewhere with this thing. And so it brings us to this place of linking and understanding, much like Peter had to, when Jesus says, can I borrow your boat? And he asks him to put his nets out on the right side. And of course, we know the story. Peter was reluctant to do so. And he acquiesces and does it and lets out his net and catches something that he had no idea that he was going to catch, to the point where he was overwhelmed with what God did in his life. And that wasn't even the thing that the Lord really wanted him to have. Isn't that amazing that God can bless you in such a way with stuff that is not even really the thing he wants you to have? Because what he really wanted Peter to get was that he was going to make him fishers of men. You're going to do the same thing, but it's going to be in another dimension. And I am getting you prepared and ready through the conduct of your life to connect you to the next dimension with a date with destiny. So that when it came time for Peter to step into the fullness of his calling, he had to let go of his boat. Sometimes you got to let go of the thing that was simply preparation for you to get to the place that God is really calling you to. And so it requires you to pack your bags. If you're going to have a date with destiny, you're going to have to pack your bags. You're going to have to find out what is essential to take on this journey. And what are you leaving behind? I'm talking to somebody right now. And so as we jump into the story, we jump into the story with understanding that destiny cannot be fulfilled in a vacuum. It happens right in the midst of life circumstances, right in the middle of the mess, right in the center of the chaos. When all hell is breaking loose and when you're trying to find the ends, let alone make them meet, and you're scratching and you're crawling your way and you're trying to go from languishing to flourishing and from survival mode to success mode, and you're doing all you know to do, and having done all to stand, you're standing there for, and you're fighting the good fight. And you're putting all the tools out there that you've been given to fight this fight called life, to make it and to be strong and to be confident and to be bold and not to shrink back into a place where you're simply stuck because you refuse to participate with destiny. You refuse to move. It happens right in the middle of the battles. It's amazing that the battles of our life brings a sense of understanding and awareness that they're not awarded. Victory is not awarded, it's won. You got to fight for this thing. You got to fight for this thing. And so destiny, the way that it works, the way that it operates, is that it unfolds. It unfolds over time, and it unfolds when you're knee deep in life. That's when it unfolds. It unfolds when it's messy. There's a proverb that says, without oxen, a stable stays clean. But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. In other words, if your stable is spotless, then you don't have to do anything. You can just look at the stable and say, it looks great. It's wonderful. And you really won't experience any type of victory in a clean space. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. But the Bible says you need a strong ox for a large harvest, because it's going to get messy, and it's going to be debris, and it's going to be dust, and it's going to look a mess. But that mess is producing something. That mess, hallelujah, is doing something in your life. I want to talk to somebody who's in a mess, and it feels like that you're never going to get out of it, that it's always going to be that way. I came to tell you that it's not always going to be that way, but there is a meaning to the mess. When Noah was in the ark, he was in the ark with a bunch of animals with no bathrooms that had one window that only the size of a man's arm from his wrist to his elbow could fit through that window, which is why he sent out the birds out that window, because nothing else could really fit in that thing. And so this is what he's in. He's in an ark. He's in an encapsulated space with animals full to the top. And it's a hot mess. It's mess everywhere, but there's meaning in the mess. The meaning that was in the mess for Noah was when he came, the time came for God to open the door, because God opens a door that no man can shut and shuts a door that no man can open. And it took God to shut the door to put him in the ark, and it took God to open the door to get him out of the ark. In other words, whatever mess you are in, God has the power to not only allow you to get in it, but he got the power to help you get out of it. But while you're in it, he's allowing the mess to build up, because the mess has meaning. And when Noah landed on Mount Ararat and God opened that door, he opened that door to a world in the earth that was flooded. The soil was over moisturized, and you cannot plant seed in over moisturized soil. And so the soil wasn't ready for any type of harvest, and it would have took years. And the only way you can fix soil that's been over moisturized or flooded is with mess, is with manure, is with compost. And Noah has a boat full of mess. And the mess had meaning, because that mess was the fertilizer for his future. I came to tell somebody today, the mess you find yourself in is nothing more than fertilizer for your future. You ought to say amen right there. You ought to shout and put it in the comment section, put it in the chat, and say, I might be in a mess, but my mess has meaning. It is fertilizer for my future. My God, do you hear what I'm saying? Some messes you just can't step out of. You got to simply endure them, and you got to weather them. Noah couldn't step out of it. He had to endure it. He had to weather it until God opened the door. And I feel this prophetic utterance to let somebody know God is about to open the door of the thing you've been praying for and hoping for and waiting to step out of and get out of. Your time is now. This is a date with destiny. And that's where we are in this text. When we come to this text, we come to a place where Elisha is doing his thing. He is doing what he normally does, but he is aware that something is about to happen. My God, I just felt that thing. Just put that in the comments. Something is about to happen. And it's about to happen while he's busy making his own plans and doing his own thing. But predictability is about to be taken from him in such a way that pulls him out of his comfort zone. But the text lets us know that he's ready for it. It lets us know that he's prepared for it, which is bringing me to the place that I want to bring you to in this story. Elijah is at the place of transition and succession. He had just called down fire from heaven and then went into retreat, and God spoke to him while he was in a cave hiding and running from Jezebel and gave him instruction, refreshed him for the next season of his life so that he can go and make sure that the legacy of the work continues. And God gives Elijah this instruction that I need you to anoint a few people as you pass by this way. And one of those people was Elisha. And Elisha is about to receive a transfer. He's about to receive a mantle. This story is deeper than the text suggests. This little bit of narrative that we read is deeper than the surface. And so while I'm talking to you, I have to ask, can I take you just a little bit deeper into this narrative? This is a transfer of epic proportions. This is a transfer that is that is marked in its beginning and its ending. It ends in a double portion. But it begins in absolute silence. It ends in a pronouncement of where is the Lord God of Elisha? But it begins in absolute silence. It is a prophetic transfer that connects the lives and the work of the prophet Elijah and Elisha. And it illustrates in shadow and type of the transition and succession that has been notable all throughout scripture, namely Moses and Joshua. And so Elijah is like a new Moses and Elisha is like a new Joshua. This is significant because what they both are about to receive, what they both are about to be a part of, what that conveys to us in this moment is in the form of alternative futures, alternative ways God can do a thing, alternative opportunities that comes into our lives. And so this is an epochal shift that is taking place in the work that God is fulfilling for his people. This is God's choice that is shifting from one vessel to another. Instead of working through the high priest or through the king, he's now going to work through the prophet. Ultimately, this work will culminate in the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Jesus Christ, because that's what he is. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so what we're seeing here, what we're seeing in this moment is Elijah serving at a time and in a season where covenants were broken, where the people were no longer worshiping God, where they were following idols and other gods. And that's what Carmel was all about. We understand that Moses understood the same type of thing when he was up on the top of Mount Sinai and comes down with the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, written by the hand of God, to only see the people dancing naked around the golden calf. And so whenever you're coming into moments of great pivotal destiny shifts, there's always a great disconnect between you and other people. In other words, you're up on the mountain about to have an experience, having an experience with God. And when you come down, people don't get the experience that you're having. Do not be shaken nor deterred, because everybody won't get it and they don't get it. You got vision. They don't understand it. You got drive. They want to stay where they are. You got some zeal and passion and joy about life and where you're about to go. And they're satisfied doing what they're doing. So be it. Don't be deterred. Don't be so enraged like Moses was that you break what God blessed you with. My God, let me say that again. Don't be so enraged and angry with folk because they don't get it, that you break what God blessed you with. Moses threw down the tablets and broke them. And God helped him to make another one. And that's his mercy and that's his grace. But I just want to share with you, you don't have to go down that road. And so as we begin to understand the complexity of what is happening in this moment, if Elijah is like a new Moses, then Elisha is like a new Joshua. And just as Moses had chosen Joshua as his successor, so Elisha has now designated Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to succeed him. And this was God's instruction. And I want you to notice a couple of things before I take you to my points. I want you to notice that this happens where Elisha is born. It happens in Abel Meloha. It means the place of the dancing meadow. It's in the territory of the tribe of Issachar. And really, all that means is that it's happening in an ordinary place. This is an unlikely place because Elisha is an unlikely pick. He had no prior relationship with Elijah. They did not know one another. It wasn't like he followed them for years. They had no type of connection. Elisha is plowing the field of his father because that's where his inheritance is. And Elijah is being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord to go past this young man and place his mantle upon him. And so it's happening in an unlikely place for an unlikely person. Can I pause to tell you that a date with destiny often happens in an unlikely place for an unlikely people? Everybody ain't gotta like you for you to have a date with destiny. Everybody don't have to approve for you to have a date with destiny. Everybody doesn't have to sign off and validate what God's about to do in your life for you to have a date with destiny. You need to divorce your need for people's affirmation for what God is about to do in your life. And so what is taking place right here is part of God's covenant purpose and part of God's divine plan. Promotion comes from the Lord. I feel the Spirit of the Lord at this very moment to tell somebody, get ready for promotion. My God, just go ahead and type it. Put it in the comment, put it in the chat. Get ready for promotion. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from the Lord. Get ready for promotion. Get ready for that phone call. Get ready for them to say you're the candidate. Get ready for your resume to be put to the top. Get ready for promotion. Get ready for the increase that you were about to settle for, that you thought that I'll live with that. But get ready for exceedingly abundantly an increase on top of what you thought you were going to settle for. Get ready for promotion. I'm not saying that to hype you. I'm not saying that so that you get goosebumps. I'm not saying that so that you can feel good. Thus saith the Lord, get ready for promotion. And so the timing of this meeting tells us that this is God's purpose. This is God's purpose. Elisha was in a place of prosperity. he was not bound, incarcerated by the outcomes of the drought and the famine. he was generating wealth when it was a moment of scarcity. That's what he was doing. Because he had an elevated perspective on what he was called to. When people saw lack, he saw possibility. When people saw scarcity, he saw abundance. He never stopped plowing the field. Oh, you don't hear me. He never stopped plowing the field. He had 12 yoke of oxen. 12 yoke of oxen. That is an indicator that he saw into the unseen world, and it empowered him to sow and to reap when others were struggling. And this was the leader that Israel would need for this season. Because that's where the enemy had a stronghold on the minds of the people. And so God wanted to elevate a man that understood the times and understand what Israel needed to do. And so Elijah would come along as his mentor. just as Moses would come along to mentor Joshua. And this moment that we're witnessing is what is called the fullness of time. The moment is full and ready. And so it is the meeting of the men, but it's also the mantle for the moment. God is not going to take you into your destiny without the mantle for the moment. I want to talk with you about the mantle for the moment. The mantle for the moment comes at the height of a meeting of two individuals that don't know each other. They have no history whatsoever. But Elisha is aware that the moment is on the way. And I know I feel I'm talking to somebody who is ready, prepared. You've been prayed up. You've been focused and you've been determined and you are aware that you are close to your moment. Because as Elisha passes by him, he throws his mantle on him and doesn't say a word. This moment happens in silence. He doesn't put his mantle on him and says, "Follow me," as Christ does his followers. It's not like a moment that the disciples are having with Jesus when he says, "Come, follow me." This is not what happens. He simply puts his cloak, his mantle upon him. That's what happens. That's what happens. And so when this happens, Elisha doesn't flinch, but runs after Elisha and says to him, "Let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you." Elisha never asked him to follow him, but he knows that this is his moment. And all he wants to do in this moment is to take care of unfinished business. And Elijah said to him, "Go back again for what I have done to you." And he returned. In other words, he says, "Go back and handle your unfinished business." And so he goes back from following him and he takes the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, boils their flesh with the yokes of oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and went after Elisha. And so that brings me to this place of this moment, this meeting, and the mantle. Mantles are a powerful thing, and it wasn't a mysterious moment for Elijah. In Israel, coats symbolize the possibility and promises of God. That's what they symbolize. Joseph wore a coat of many colors. God describes the garments of this in detail, the mantle for the priesthood, which was indicative of Joseph's coat of many colors. Joseph had a dream of destiny before he had a date with destiny. When Adam and Eve fell and before the Lord, the Bible says that he had to, watch me now, put a mantle upon them. Their original mantle was God's glory. That's why they didn't have any skin coats. I feel like talking. Their original mantle was God's glory. That's what they wore. But when they disobeyed him, he had to provide them with new coats. And so he killed an animal and then covered them in skin, which is indicative of redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ at the moment of your greatest failure. I feel like talking to somebody. And so there's so much here to understand that when this mantle comes and is placed upon him, it is indicative of what God promised and the possibility of those promises. Elisha's mantle was nothing more than a garment of sheepskin. or camel hair. But when it hit the shoulders of Elisha, his entire future shifted. My God, somebody needs to know that your entire future is about to take a paradigm shift, completely and totally rearrange and change because of what is about to be placed upon your life. And this confirmed for Elisha what he always knew. And so I want to give you a few principles before I close this out. You have to be aware of your date with destiny. You have to be aware that when the mantle is received, when it comes upon your life, it awakens and invigorates you to the point where you have a fresh awareness of something more. Come on, come on. When this thing comes on you, you have to say, there's something more. I want you to get that down into your spirit that what you have settled for is not it. There is something more. And you have to convince yourself or tell yourself or let yourself have the permission to know it is okay for you to go after something more. And if you have not had the ability to do that and you've been satisfied with plowing the field that you're in, I understand that more than you know. But I'm here to tell you, God is about to shift where you are and to make sure that you do not stay stuck. Stay what you have, stay in the place of what you have settled for. Elijah said, I'm going to burn the plow and I'm going to sacrifice the oxen. I'm going to throw a party for my past. I'm going to make sure that I don't go back to what I settled for. And so the mantle makes you aware. And in that awareness, you become totally open to something more. The mantle activates. They activate destiny by provoking it. When the mantle hit Elijah's shoulders, it activated a new beginning, a new reality, and provoked him to move toward what God had ordained for his future. Everything else had to shift because his life was altered. He could not remain doing the same thing while trying to pursue what God promised. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is some good stuff. It activates. It activates. It makes you aware. Come on. Those are my first 2 points. Number three, when the mantle falls upon Elisha, it causes him to call forth or to invoke or to evoke. In other words, mantles call forth what is within you. In other words, when the mantle is placed upon him, there's a passion that's stirred up on the inside of you, and you become ruin for everything that is ordinary and for everything that you used to do. You're ruined for your old level. This is why he burns the plow. This is why he sacrificed the oxen, because he's ruined for his old level and he's ready to step into this new moment, this new opportunity. Are you ruined for your old level? The stuff you used to do, don't do it for you no more. Don't work no more. It's not joyful anymore. There's no passion involved in it because you're ruined for the old level and you're primed and ready to step into what God is calling you into in this moment. It invokes. It evokes, it calls forth everything that is in you. And so Elijah could not stay in a place of familiarity. And so he leaves his parents, sacrificed his oxen, which is his inheritance. It's his legacy. And he fed his sacrifice to the people. Burned the plow and made it his altar. He burned the bridges behind him so that he can move into the double portion. You cannot move into a double portion while trying to stay connected to the bridge behind you, because this shift requires that you know there is no going back. Who am I talking to? There is no going back to business as usual. There is no going back to normal, because normal is synonymous and always has been with average. There is no going back to being frustrated, to being bitter. There is no going back to unforgiveness. There is no going back to depression. There is no going back to self-medicating. There is no going back. I'm coming out of all of that and into a new reality, into a new beginning. This is a date with destiny. The mantle makes you aware. The mantle activates by provoking, by evoking, by invoking. But then the mantle also brings you into the alternatives in a world of unlimited possibilities. It sanctifies your imagination so that you see past struggle. You got to start seeing past struggle. It ain't always going to be that way. To plow a field with 12 yoke of oxen might be prosperous for you, but it's also a labor and a struggle. And I'm here to tell you, you should not lament what you're leaving, because the field remains. It's the plow and the oxen that are gone, but the field is still in place. One man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. And stop lingering over what God has told you to leave, because the field is still there. You've planted, you've watered. Let God give the increase. And Elijah is stepping into this moment of significance, importance. A moment that's going to bring him into a double portion, into a transfer. It is an act of faith to step into a world of alternatives, a world of unlimited possibilities. It is a step of faith to get to a place of leaving what is familiar and walking into what is uncertain, so that power can meet potential. So that what God intends could bring you into a destiny-defining moment. And so I leave you with this. A date with destiny requires a rapid response. The Bible says he left his oxen and ran after Elijah. You have to be swift when the moment comes. Elijah passed by him and put the mantle on him. And it was a quick moment, and a quick moment demands a quick response. God is doing a new thing, and it's happening in a Kairos moment. A Kairos moment is a moment where it comes from archery, where the window of opportunity, where the wind is right and the trajectory is right. And the archer has had their bow pulled back at the precise moment to hit the target. And he has a window of opportunity. And a Kairos moment is when the arrow goes through the window of opportunity at the right time, at the seasoned moment to hit the target. This is your moment. And you have to seize it. And you have to move quickly. Your rapid response belongs to the Lord first. It always belongs to God first. He'll provide the direction and his spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth. But in order for you to position yourself for the divine guidance of the next steps, it requires a definitive yes. You have to say yes to this moment, which is why Elijah burns the plow and sacrifices the oxen. He says yes. And just that fast, just that quick, his life is altered and changed. It is our yes to God that prepares us to say yes to every decision we need to make in order to embrace the date with destiny. It is our yes to God that emboldens us to say no to everything that would try to stop us from the promotion that's coming our way. I need you to know your moment has arrived. I need you to take into your spirit, your moment has arrived. And I need you to decide to respond to this moment. Because when you respond to this moment, it will bring your life into alignment with the power of that moment. The mantle makes you aware. The mantle activates. The mantle brings you into a place of alignment, brings you into a world of alternatives, because God has manifold wisdom. It opens you up to the possibility and the probability of it happening for you. And so my assignment today is to get you to the place where you decide to say, yes, Lord. Wherever he's sending you, wherever he's taking you, wherever he is promoting you, what he wants to do in your life that you feel and know without a shadow of a doubt. This is your assignment. This is your purpose. This is where you belong. Say yes. And say no to everything that would distract, detract, and derail the opportunity. Stop you from walking into what God has for your life. Because what might have started in silence is going to end in a double portion. I pray this word touched your heart. I pray it encouraged you, enlightened you. I pray it filled you with hope and passion and joy for the vision that's in your heart and the assignment that's upon your life. And I pray you step out of your stuck place, step out of the place that you have settled for and into something more. Because that's what God has for your life. I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that you come to a place of a conscious choice to lift your hands and say yes to God in every way. be open to all the change that needs to take place and the transformation that follows. Because change is inevitable, but transformation is always a process. And as you come out of your process, you'll come into the possibility of something more, of the power of God being upon your potential, stepping into a double portion to continue the work of expanding the kingdom of God and doing what he's called you to do. Father, I thank you for every person that is watching, every person that will hear this message, every person that's in an ordinary place, who are content with plowing their feet. We know and we understand that if we take our hand off the plow, we won't be fit for the kingdom, but that's not what Elisha did. He kept plowing until he had a date with destiny. And there's somebody listening to me right now who've been plowing and plowing and plowing, and the harvest hasn't been great and it's been small, but they've been plowing and they've been faithful and they've been diligent. And I'm here to let them know they got the right stuff. It's just not the right place. And that you're about to shift the place so that they can understand that they was always called to it. They were always supposed to do it. But where they had been plowing was nothing more than preparation, character building, development. I thank you, Father, that they recognize and understand that now they're ready for that promotion. They're ready to step into that assignment. They're ready to step into that call. That their destiny is not somewhere out there, and that they've always had a date with destiny because it's been happening right in the middle of them plowing, right in the middle of their labor, right in the middle of their mess. I thank you, Father God, that no time will be wasted, that our response will be rapid, because the promises of God are yes, and they are amen. The yes is from you, but the amen is on us. We have to get into agreement so that we can get into alignment with everything you want to do. So, Father, we bring our place, our heart before you and say, creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, that we get into alignment with all that you want to do. We say yes, Lord. Oh, God, we say yes. We say yes to everything you want to accomplish in our life, to what you want to do in us and through us. We say yes. We yield ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Man, I pray this has been an encouragement to you and a blessing to your life. Share this, man. Share it with somebody who needs to hear it, who's content with where they are, who's struggling and battling, who's trying to have a date with destiny and trying to fulfill it, but is fighting against their own destiny because they won't participate in ways that brings destiny to fulfillment. Their conduct in their life doesn't match what God is calling them to. Share this message with them so that they can come into the understanding and the awareness of what's necessary to have a date with destiny so that their moment can arrive because it's awaiting you. The wonderful thing about destiny is that it cannot be retrofitted into somebody else's life. It cannot be downloaded for somebody else. What God has for you is for you. And until you do it, it will go unfulfilled. And so I pray that you realize that you are not disqualified from a date with destiny. It is still available to you. Hallelujah. That's some good news. So share this message. And of course, sow into the kingdom of God. Take this moment of worship to sacrifice and to be a blessing to us because prayerfully we have been a blessing to you. We cannot continue to do what we do without your generous sacrifice, without your giving. So thank you in advance for sowing a seed into this ministry so that we can continue to preach the gospel to you. If you want to give, text give KLC to 73256. It's the fastest way to do it. You can do it right now on your phone, or you can go online and give on that platform at the Kingdom Life Church. Download our church app also on Google or iTunes at the Kingdom Life Church and give on those platforms, or you can mail it into the ministry. However you want to do it as unto the Lord. And we know God shall give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's our prayer for you because that's what the Word of God says. Now, may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May He surround you with His favor like a shield. May His angels encamp themselves round about you and His precious blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. And I'll see you next week.